This is tape two, side two, of an oral history interview on Black heritage in the Upper Piedmont. The interviewer is W.J. Meganson, and the interviewee is Jim Benson. Today is August the 12th. We've taken a couple of day rest after our 2 hours or so on the first part of the cemetery, and now we're coming back on Saturday afternoon where it's fairly warm, and it's difficult to realize that this was the cool weather the Charlestonians fled to. Let me ask you about a couple of things and pick back up on some subjects before we go back to the cemetery. I was asking you the other day about the pictures in your living room, and you later corrected me that those are your wife's family and not yours. Tell us, if you will, who those are, who those people are. What was your wife's name?
That picture in there, that's my wife's granddaddy's picture. That big picture there.
What was his name?
His name was I believe it was Howard Madison.
Madison. Mm-hmm. And what was your wife's name?
My wife, Alberta Madison.
And her father?
Frank Madison.
Now, you have some other pictures in the living room too, don't you?
Not more than our family.
Mm-hmm. And where were the Madisons from?
They originated, they came from down at Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
Williamson, South Carolina. That's where they came from.
Were they members at Abel too?
No, they never were members of Abel Church.
Were they connected with any church, as far as you know?
Well, they were connected with church down in the Rocky River, but I don't recall, but they was remember the church down in Rocky River Association.
Let me ask you for a minute about something totally unrelated to your family and to Abel Church in the cemetery, but I've spent some time looking at voter registration books back from the 19th century. Back when you were a young boy and as you were growing up, were Black people voting in this area?
No.
Did anybody go vote back then?
Nobody go. No, not. Nobody voted back then. None of the Black people that I know of. And I know most all of them around here, but there wasn't none of them voting.
Are you a registered voter?
I am. Yeah.
When did you first register?
In 48.
48.
Right.
So that was before the Civil Rights Act, nearly 20 years.
Yeah.
Were other people registered and voting at the same time you did?
Yes, there were some.
So do you think the 1940s were when people began registering and voting?
That's correct. Yeah, since the colored people around there, there was probably one or two that were voting back, but that there were not any. As a whole, 1948, most of them are.
Do you remember what happened to trigger the possibility of registering then?
Well, the Black people, they had kind of a problem. They were somehow looked on as if they were doing something that they ought not to do or had no business doing something. And they, every once in a while, they would run a conflict. And I tell you, this just happened to me. When I first went up to vote up here central, I'd never voted before. And I went up there to vote. And there was a white minister. He was kind of family with the colored people, even at this church. And so when I went in, he asked me, I said, come up here to vote. I thought maybe cast a vote. He said, well, did you bring any of those other old deacons with you? No, I just come up to vote, I said. So he said, well, they're voting up there. And I went on up there, and I went in to vote, and this is what happened. I got the ticket, went on around and cast it. There was one white man, kind of elder fella. He come around and said, who are you voting for? I said, well, I just voting for it. I thought maybe some of the men that I knew. And he said, well, you vote for Mr. I don't know his name. Mm-hmm. But he was pulling for him. He said, you vote for him. So I didn't think very much about that. I just went ahead and filled out some of the names I put on that. Mm-hmm. Just didn't know, mm-hmm. really didn't know, but I just filling out.
It sounds like when you went to register that the minister was afraid that you were bringing a whole group to sign up.
I don't know what his object was. But he said, and I went in and I came out, filled out the blank, come on out to put it in the box. And there were three young men met me there. I don't know them. I wouldn't know them now if I were to see them. Don't know who they were. They were the young men, young white men, three of them.
Excuse me. Did you recognize them at the time?
I didn't know who they were.
You didn't know them then either.
No. But they met me and said, we'll take that. And I said, well, I thought I. He said, no, sir, give it to us. There's three of them. I didn't know. I just gave it to him. And he tore it up right there in my face.
Well, it's wonderful that after that you went back and voted another time.
Yeah, I went back and voted, but I didn't go back to Central. Mm-hmm. I got the registration committee. We're down at Clemson down there, and I was working on it. I went in the place down there, so that before the next year. Mm-hmm. I asked him about moving my registrations. I said, I work here at Clemson, but I am in there, live in Central. I said, but I work, live in the Central area, but I work here in Clemson. I said, I'm down here. They were willing to get, yeah, you can vote down here. And so I've been voting there ever since.
Do you remember who registered you to vote?
No, I don't remember the names of them. But it was a committee that was in charge then. That was 1949, I guess. That was a committee. But that committee, before, I raised for in Central area. It was not that committee, I don't know.
Reason I ask is that about that time, one of my uncles was in the Democratic Committee over there, Charlie Bennett. I was wondering if he could have been the one who registered you.
I know him. Yeah, I know him. But he was he wasn't on that committee then. But I know him though. Yeah.
Were other black men voting in Clemson at that time?
Yes, it was a few. It was a few.
It's interesting that, say, in the 1920s or 30s or 40s, as you were growing up, black men or women, for that matter, were not voting.
No.
Because in the late 19th century, after the Civil War and on just about to 1900, black men only in this area could vote. I was looking yesterday at the voter registration up at the courthouse for this area. One of the last black men to register to vote in the 1890s was a fellow by the name of Prince White.
Prince White.
Does that name mean anything to you?
I know him.
Tell me about him.
Uncle Prince White, I just knew him. I knew him. He was and he had some boys named Sam White and Osby White, and he had another one. There were three of those. I knew them. They grew up around this area.
Right around the church.
Yeah, in this area, yeah. Yeah.
Now, he was connected with the Masons, too, wasn't he?
With who?
With the Masonic Order.
Oh, yeah, I think he was. Yeah, I think he was. Yeah, because he was, that is one of the older members I knew about it. In the lodge, looking over the old record, I think I found his name on that.
The reason I also ask about the Masons is just beyond us is the Masonic Hall.
Yeah.
Likewise, I wanted to ask you about that. I remember when I went to Charlie Bennett's funeral, it was the first one I had seen with Masonic ritual. Do the black Masons participate in burial activities the same way that white Masons do?
No, they don't. No, they don't. Mm-mm.
Let me ask and tell you a couple of other things while we're out here in the churchyard. I believe you said the other day that the oak tree up by the street was just planted when you were a young boy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's pretty large now. The one nearest the church looks like it's older and must have been there a good while longer than that, wouldn't you guess?
Mm-hmm.
We were also talking Thursday about the size of cemetery number one. Mm-hmm. So I've been busy out here pacing it off, and it's very roughly 60 by 90 yards.
Uh-huh.
So it would, as you said, have held quite a few graves.
Mm.
I've also done a little bit of looking around, and the newest tombstones are almost all out by the road. So apparently that was the last part to be developed.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they no longer could use Cemetery 1, they moved on to Cemetery 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's where we should go since we stopped off there a couple of days ago.
All right.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other day we read rows 1 and 2 in cemetery number 2, and we're now back to the corner for the third row or line, and it looks like they're probably, what would you say, about 3 graves here without any markers. And then we come to a fairly elaborately designed grave that has a coping around it and with a design in the coping. It's not just squared off. Do you know whose grave this is?
I knew who grave that was, but I can't get the name of him right there.
Well, let's walk on a bit, and if you think of it, we'll come back to it.
Yeah.
Because we'll have to come back this way again. Mm-hmm. And for quite some distance going beyond here, there are no other tombstones either. We've come about 10 or 15 yards without any tombstones. Finally, we come to one for Rosa Bett, B-E-T, Hill. Born March 1903, and if the death date is on it, it's submerged under the ground, so we're not trying to get that.
That's Rosa Beth Hill.
And there appear to be 2 unmarked graves beyond her, and we come to, let's see if you can help me with this, Mamie Simmons.
Mm-hmm. That's Mamie Simmons.
Born 1894, died December 6, 1933.
Mm-hmm.
A member of the PDBA Society.
Yeah.
And what? That's the Pendleton Burial Association?
That's a Peace Burial Aid Society. Peace Burial Aid Society.
Mm-hmm.
He furnished those little rocks. You see all of the black rocks. That's were furnished by people. And it's only the People Burial Aid. But Peaks was the manager of that society, those little rocks there, and PBA, People Burial Aid.
Now, if we compare Mamie Simmons with the next one, Rosa Preston, born 1882, died October 3, 1934, member of the PBA Society, Preston's is much more carefully carved into the stone and has survived better than Simmons. But otherwise, they are relatively plain markers without any type of design or anything else. And here with a metal marker is Bernice, B-E-R-E-N-I-C-E, P. Jones, 1980, an Adams mortuary site.
That's Rosa Preston's daughter. That's who that is. That's Rosa Preston's daughter. And she died quite a few years difference in that burial, but when she passed, well, we brought her out, she and buried her in this old cemetery number 2 beside her mother. She hadn't been too long. 1980, I reckon.
Are there other Prestons around this part? I haven't heard of too many of them.
Mm-hmm. No, there's Alex Preston. That's. But I don't know. I don't think he. He do have a marker somewhere. Alex Preston. Do he have a marker? But I don't know where it is.
You want to read this one for us?
Yeah. Truman Brown Jones. This here is Bernice Preston. She married this Jones.
Mm-hmm.
This is her husband, Bernice Preston Jones.
And the whole tombstone reads Truman Brown Jones, U.S. Navy, World War I, August 24, 1895. April 13, 1983. I know a bit later on we're going to find some more World War I veterans,
yeah.
But this is the first one we've seen so far, and
yeah.
An indication of black people, but also white people, moving out beyond this area into the military service.
Yeah.
And who is this one?
That's Aaron Mason. Aaron Mason. He died. He was born 18 and 53.
Mm-hmm.
Died 1939. Aaron Mason.
Let's see, that's January 12,
1939. Mm-hmm.
I noticed for 3 of the last 4 that the birth year is given, but not the month and the day.
Yeah.
And here's another one with a cross on it, like the one we just saw, and I think I'm going to need some help on this.
This is
Maddie
Ferguson.
Ferguson, mm-hmm. F-U-R-G-A-N-S-O-N,
mm-hmm.
Born June 15, 1913. And died February, the date's pretty well eroded, it may be 1939.
And Maddie Ferguson, now Aaron Mason over there, this was his wife raised this family of this that she's a member of. Ellen Mason raised her sister's family. I'm like seven or eight children.
Why was she having to raise her sister's family?
She passed. Her sister passed and left her children. Her sister raised them.
So the sister died fairly young?
She wasn't so very young. But she was not actually old because she had children. She must have been middle aged. She had about, probably nine children. There's another one of those little rocks.
We have again passed some unmarked graves and are not commenting on them because they're such a large number. This is John, there must have been another name that we can't read now, Watson. Born 1880, died the early part of it is difficult to read, but 1941, member of the PBA Society. And this is not quite as well carved as the earlier PBA ones we saw from a few years before that. So apparently Peach was economizing by this time. And here we have one that's going to be difficult, so give me all the help you can.
No. I guess I might not know who that is. I don't. C-O-N.
I believe this one is so bad we're going to have to come back and rub it to be able to pick up anything. This one, like one beyond it, but with a space in between, are both lined with concrete blocks around them as coping. The one beyond it does not have any type of marker attached. Now we come to John H. Dawson. Born 1879, died August 19, 1950, member PBA Society. Is the Peach Burial...
People Burial Aid.
Is that still functioning?
Yeah, that's all those little rocks have People Burial Aid funding. People Burial Aid, they were members of that society. Now this year ends.
And we have one final one that's marked in this row. D. Nathaniel Reese, September 30, 1946, July 14, 1980, We All Loved You, with fairly elaborate design, deeply carved leaves and a cross. And there is one other that had once upon a time, a metal cemetery marker.
That the one there, I know.
Now, who's this?
That's somebody there. I'm trying to think of who it was.
Okay, an unmarked grave to the east of Reese.
Yeah.
And still another one beyond it that had a metal sign that's no longer there. Do you know whose grave this is?
No, I don't.
Well, you're right.
I guess it's with now William.
Williams L. Earl.
Earl, yeah.
Born November 8, 1947. Died November 2, 1985. Age 37. By Adams Mortuary.
That's Earl. I'm trying to... I'm trying to
Starting once again on the western end of the cemetery, on the next line, this broken stone says Polly Reed, and I believe it says born May 1st, 1904. This is not Polly Reed. There are two stones. Polly Reed is broken off. And the other stone that doesn't have the first name says born May 1, 1904, died October 23, 1927. What do you know about these two Reeds?
Aunt Polly Reed. She's the husband of Butler Reed. Butler Reed, well, back then she had a first cousin named Leah Reed. She married Butler Reed. Mm-hmm. And Butler Reed lived in between with these two women. He had two families.
Mm-hmm.
By two women, Butler Reed.
At the same time?
Same time. He had Polly Reed there. She lived across the cut in a, and his home was on the other side, him and his family right there. But he had more children by Aunt Polly than he did by his original wife, Leah.
Mm-hmm.
But they lived, they seemed like they got along all right. But he was kind of shifty man. He, back in that town, he run a little store, had a little store. And he was kind of skillful. And he lived with those two families. And they raised them.
Hope he made good money.
Yeah.
With all those children and two wives.
He was running a little store. He had a store. And he's kind of shifty, you know, skilled. And in other words, it didn't take as much to live like that as now, but he managed some of them, you know, supported those families.
The lines have kind of blurred because the tombstones don't run in even order. We have gone anyhow about 15 yards perhaps without any more marked stones, and this one apparently is...
Now this is at the head. This is at the head of a grave here.
But there's no writing on it as far as we can tell, is there?
But it's a old man, Cato Sherman.
Cato Sherman?
Cato Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
This is his grave. There was a key on that, but it's gone away. Somebody put a key on that. But this is his grave.
So Cato was spelled with a K.
Cato Sherman. He was one of the first clerks. Among the first clerk of ABL.
Mm-hmm.
You see what he was. And Cato was. But that's where that is.
Well, we're getting a bit out of line. I think we need to go back to the beginning, and we'll probably be taking up two rows at a time because this is sort of zigzag.
This year, the...
Once again, we're back to the far western side of the cemetery, and there's a stone that's too faded for us to pick up anything. It might could be from rubbing, but it looks like it's unlikely even for that. It overlaps, it would seem, in the arrangement of the graves. It starts about the middle, almost, of the one to its east, Anne Elizabeth Jones, February 9, 1921, July 23, 1929, Fear not, for I am with thee always, inscribed on the pages of an open book. This is another tombstone with a fairly nice stone itself, and also surrounded by concrete blocks for coping. This young woman died when she was only 8. Do you remember anything about her?
Yeah, she died very young. This is Minnie Belle, daughter of Minnie Belle Jones. Minnie Belle, she was formerly a Fooster, but she married a Jones. And that's why this girl go by Jones. Minnie Belle married Clay Jones. And they had two children. Mm-hmm. And this is the girl.
Do you remember what caused her death at such a young age?
I don't remember.
Not too far from the other Reed graves, we now come to Julia, wife of Robert
Reed,
E. Reed, born July 27, 1902, died September 22, 1922, faithful to her trust even until death. And immediately to its east is a field stone, apparently for an unmarked grave.